Somebody say, wow. I'm trying to decide whether I'm going to preach this message or not because I don't think I have time. I think there's a lot of maturity in here today that I can probably shorten this a little bit. I want to just remind you of Memorial Day. We're having a big old party and we'd like everybody to come. And you can follow up on all these announcements. We're not going to take the time to do the video announcements and the devotion student ministries. But also very important is this Wednesday night is our Harbor Kids Awards. And so we want to make sure you're here for that. Whew. There's a glory cloud in this place. I texted our team. I told Heather, I said, there's a sweet presence of God in here that has hanging authority in this place. It's like low-hanging fruit, and whatever you want from God is just so ripe and rich and ready. I woke up this morning and I know this is going to be a long day for myself. As I prepared for this day, just the things that you prepare for every day, just getting ready for this day, and prepared for all the wise comments that I would have about wearing a suit today, which we could laugh about that. Y'all can laugh about that. It's okay to laugh in the presence of God. He laughs too. He's like, what are you wearing a suit today for? Throw everybody off. But as we prepared for this day, I just had this sense of God meeting with us in just a really awesome way today. And that we make it so difficult for God to change our lives because we stay closed off to Him. Not because we intend to, because we go through the process of life trying to fix our own stuff. We're geared that way. Especially those that have a personality to fix things anyway. And so we, what could be simple, we make difficult. Because I said to many of you that were praying this morning, God cares more about your stuff than you do. God's heart for you is greater than what you can even comprehend. God's love for you is precious and amazing. And Sam, He's already paved a highway for you. You don't have to bulldoze it out. Just walk down the path that He's given you. Sometimes we probably feel like life is like a jungle and we got a machete and we're just trying to get through it. But if we get in the what do they call it when you're racing? The what's it called? The where you get behind the draft. When you get in the draft of His Spirit, it just makes everything easy. I feel like God wants somebody to just pull in behind Him today instead of trying to plow your way through and just get in the draft of His Spirit and let His Holy Spirit just pull you into His presence. He wants you there more than you want to be there, I promise you. He created you to be in His presence. Everybody say amen. I'm going to try to share this message in a brief, so if it sounds like I'm just hitting high points, it's because I am. But I really feel like this message for today is kind of tied in with where God has taken us. And I think when we understand, thank you guys, I thank you when we understand that there's a destiny that God has for us. There's a destiny and there's a purpose that God has for our lives. That we're not here, and you hear me say this all the time, and if you come back next Sunday, I'll probably say it again. We're not here by accident. This is not an accidental thing. We didn't show up on this earth and God's like, oh, surprise. Look who showed up today. What am I going to do with them? On the day that you were born, God was not shocked at all. He was not amazed. He was not going, oh, well, look at this project. That's not how God sees you. He sees you as precious and planned and prepared and equipped and fulfilled and close to Him. Intimacy. And so we're not here by chance, and we're not here in this time and in this place in life by chance. We're not in this world at this time by chance, in this time and dispensation, but we're here ordained for this moment. And I want you to think about that for just a second, just meditate upon that. That God called me, Brittany, for this moment and time. What I'm about to say is kind of cute, but it's not really, when you put it in perspective. Jason, He didn't make you Moses because He didn't need you then, He needs you now. He didn't make you Abraham. He didn't make you Sarah. He made you for now, in this time, in this place. If He had needed you then, He would have had you born then. But He had you born in this dispensation, for this time, for this moment, for His purpose. If you got that, say, I got it. Because that's huge when you understand that. The question is not, am I born for this time? Am I called for this time? But what will I do with the calling of my life? What will I do with why God put me here? And when we understand the why God put us here, it changes our point of view. It opens up the heavens, and the why now gives us purpose. So many people chase after things of the world because they don't know the why that God created them. So they're chasing after things, trying to fulfill a place in their life that God already has planned for them if they had stepped into the purpose of His creation. So I want to read from Romans 8, and this is out of the Passage Translation, so they won't have it on the screen. But so just walk with me through this for just a moment. So now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in the life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. I want to read it again. So now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in the life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. I want you to understand this morning that you're a son and a daughter of God. You've been joined with Him. And there remains no condemnation in your life. No condemnation. I was speaking to someone this past week, and they were feeling very rejected and beat up and bruised and every other thing of that nature. And I said to them, so when your child does something wrong, do you reject them and put them out and don't speak to them anymore? Well, absolutely not. I said, well, if the Word tells us that our Heavenly Father cares more about us than our earthly parents, how much more does the Heavenly Father love you even in your mistakes? See, we used to sing an old song that He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. He looked beyond my shortcomings and He sees my purpose. But Pastor, you're saying it's okay for us to have shortcomings. I'm saying no, that He looks beyond that. He pulls us from our shortcomings into our purpose. Yeah, right. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we don't live under condemnation because we know who our daddy is. And we don't remain where we are because we know who our daddy is. Honestly, I'm going to just tell you this morning that I used to remain in a place of condemnation because I didn't understand that God forgave me when I asked. I thought I had to do some kind of works, jump through fire, crawl across glass, get egg on my face before God could say, you're okay. And the honest truth is that the moment I said, God, even in my heart without my words, and I repented in my heart, it was done. Now, that's not an excuse to go on sinning. It's not a ticket to continue your life in sin, but it's a reason to understand that when you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, and He takes you from glory to glory. From mistake, He pulls you out, He sets you in alignment, and you learn, and you walk into the next. Somebody said that's a good word. We need to stop the striving in our life to please God and accept the grace of God on our life so that we can walk in the fulfillment and the purpose of God. There is no condemnation. For the law was life-giving spirit flowing through the anointing of Jesus has liberated us from the law of sin and death. For God achieved what the law was unable to accomplish because the law was limited by the weakness of human nature. Yet God sent His Son in human form to identify with human weakness. Clothed with humanity, God's Son gave His body to be the sin offering so that God could once and for all condemn the guilt and the power of sin. Could you bring me that water, please, Heather? So now every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the Anointed One living His life in us. We are free to live, not according to the flesh, but by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. I want to stop right there. So now every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the Anointed One living His life in us. Everything required of us, everything necessary for us, all the requirements of the law, or the purpose of the law, can be fulfilled through the work of the Spirit living in us. For Christ did not come to do away with the law, but He came to give us the fulfillment of His Spirit living in us so that we could overcome sin. It's through the work of the Holy Spirit that we conquer those things that we could not conquer in our own flesh. Because He empowers us to do so. At the close of the dispensation, meaning the order of the plan of God, was no longer based on the works of the law. Now we have been given the Holy Spirit to give us power to overcome works of the flesh. The dispensation of the law of trying to fulfill what God had for us by works is no longer required. Now understand what I'm about to say today. Are there still things required of us? We go to Matthew 5. Matthew 5 says that a man that looketh on a woman with lust in his heart has already committed adultery. Or a person that hateth his brother has already committed murder. Why did the requirement go up? The requirement was going up not because of the act, but because there was this thing inside of us called the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us. And so when we fall into that temptation, the Holy Spirit helps us to overcome before the act happens. Before, we didn't have the Holy Spirit to help us in those situations, and we may fall prey to that because we're trying to do works without power. Come on, somebody ought to get excited about that. And so we're always striving to please God through our own flesh. How many know that? I don't know about you, but I can't do that. I need the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. So what does the enemy want to do with us in the church today? He wants to create, and we've done it in every denomination, in every religious spirit, and everything, create rules and regulations that we try to somehow handle through our own flesh and fail, and worry about the condemnation coming from other people. And so the enemy puts us back into the trap of what God gave His Son on the cross to liberate us from. Yes. Somebody say, thank God. Thank God that I don't have to make you happy. I just got to make Him happy. And I make Him happy by all just being obedient to the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. So it's no longer this works of the flesh, this striving to do what I've been commanded to do, but it's just being obedient to this GPS inside of me called the Holy Spirit that's leading and guiding me. And you know, and I know that when the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you, you feel that tug of the Spirit, like you know. We call it, mothers call it, well, I get a red flag. No, you get a white glory cloud. I don't know what color it is, but it's the glory of God. It's the Spirit of God speaking in your life, and He's forewarning, like, oh, wait a minute. You don't have to walk in that path that leads to destruction. So that's some good teaching right there. We just need to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led and live our lives after His presence, and it changes everything. Scripture goes on to say, those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits them, but those who live by the impulse of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For your mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. My flesh is always going to lead me to some destructive situation. Always. And let me just go ahead and break this down for everybody in here. Won't you just pinch yourself right now and you realize that we're all flesh. You might want to just pinch the person next to you. It feels better. Just we're all flesh. We're all in this struggle of the flesh. We all have this corruptible body and we all have this human nature that is a part of our life. But if we're led by the Spirit, I want you to know you're victorious over this life. Anybody with me today? Amen. It's a decision that we make to say, I'm going to be controlled. I'm going to be empowered by the Anointing One, led by the Spirit of God. Now, Christ lives His life in you. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, His life-giving Spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. And let me stop right there. One of our biggest battlefields of our mind is, does God love me the way I am? I told someone yesterday, I said, be who God created you to be. I'm going to have a pastor confession right here. Because I was born and raised in the fire of God and the Holy Spirit and revival church and revival mentality, but yet a religious thing. That we always wanted people to be who we thought they should be. And so we created these cookie cutter religious ideas and we wanted to stamp out everyone to look and smell and act and walk and dress and talk like us. Come on, y'all smile at me. Give me a Holy Ghost smile. The fact is that God created us all with a different fingerprint and a different eye. You know, now you can... Ryan got a phone this past week and he can open his phone with his eyes. I said, that's weird. His safety now is his eyeball, you know. It's kind of scary. But the fact is because you don't have his eye and only his eye is his own. In the same way, God created you like you and nobody else. Come on. What a blessing to know that I am so unique with God that He in Himself has created me and loves me for who I am. And we even do this in the natural. Look, I got five awesome, incredible, amazing girls. And sometimes they'll say in this trying to raise them in life, don't compare me with the other sister. I am not them. I am who I am. Well, the natural thing is sometimes it's like, hey, well, sister so-and-so does this, you should do that. And we want to put people in a channel to say, hey, well, but the fact is the one that we're telling that do this, we're also telling the other one that this is the attribute of that one. You are to be that. Human nature. The fact is, God said, be who I've created you to be. If we learn to walk in our purpose that God created us for, it breaks off the very attack of the enemy. He has nothing left. Because every lie that the enemy is telling us is always to try us to be something that God did not create us to be. I want you to think about that just a minute. I'm fully accepted by God, just as I am. He made me. Let me go ahead and say this. The Bible says, seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He made you, and He will perfect you. If there's changes that need to happen in your life, if you fall deeply in love with Him, and you go after His heart, there's this little thing called conviction. And this little thing called conviction is nothing like condemnation. Conviction brings you into the order of Him. Condemnation brings you into the order of the world. Conviction brings you to His heart. Condemnation drives you away from Him. Conviction brings you close to His voice. Condemnation takes you away from His voice. You should pray for conviction in your life. Lord, convict me. What you're saying is, Lord, I'm seeking out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I want to be who You created me to be. That's what conviction is. Conviction is not creating you to be somebody else or to be like somebody else wants you to be. Conviction is creating you to be like He created you to be. Whew, that's good, somebody. I want to preach that to myself right now. I want His alignment in my life so that I can be a reflection of who He is in my life. Somebody say amen. Amen. So I'm accepted. Yes, God raised Jesus to life, and since God's Spirit is resurrection, lives in you, He will also raise your dying body to life in the same Spirit that breathes life into you. So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claims on us at all, for we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. I don't have to live in obedience to this world or this flesh. For when we live controlled by the flesh, you are about to die. But if the life of the Spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, and we then taste the abundant life. We often preach this message that Christ came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. And then we look back and we say, where is the abundance? The abundance is right beneath the place that you've allowed other stuff in your life to overshadow that by the works of the flesh. The moment you step into the Spirit, the abundant life opens to you. It's not God's gifts are not being poured out. It's that we have allowed so much condemnation, guilt, shame, and other stuff in our life that the abundance is hidden beneath the blessing. I mean the curse, not the blessing. So what do? Remove the curse from your life. Sin, you have no reign over my life. Flesh, you have no reign over my life. All of a sudden, I step into the blessing of God. The windows of heaven open up, and my life is full. The other thing we've confused abundance with is stuff. Abundance is not stuff, it's Him. You can be rich and have Him, and you can be poor and have Him. But you could be poor and not have Him. You could be rich and not have Him. The car you drive or the car you don't drive has nothing to do with the purpose of God in your life. I've even heard people say that our nation is blessed. We're blessed with the abundance of God. Maybe not. Maybe we have the curse of the abundance because we've tried to use the abundance and make it God. And when it goes away, then we think God went away. Where somebody living in a little village in Africa might just know Him and that's enough. Yes. Or they may not. When we come into alignment, it doesn't have a geographical location. We come into alignment, it has a heavenly location. Whoo, that's good. Verse 14. And I'm only about... This is just my opening, so I don't think I'll get all this done. So here was, the mature children of God are only those who are moved by the impulse of the Spirit. Maturity is not the longevity, nor your attendance record. Your age, or even your ability. Maturity is when you have the understanding and you respond to the impulse of the Holy Spirit working in you. Right. I've seen people that's been in church their whole life still need a bottle and a spoon. I've seen people that's only been in church for a short while have given their life to Christ for a short while, but went after His Spirit, walk in major maturity. Because the moment we're walking in Spirit, we mature in the Spirit. The other stuff's called religious stuff. I'm preaching better than your amen. And so the Scripture goes on to say, and you do not receive religious duty. So we're not coming to God ceremonially, going through the ceremony of church, or out of obligation, but out of love and relationship. That was my little commentary in there. Let me go back to the Scripture. Leading you back into fear of never being good enough. Wow. Come on, I'm going to speak to that today. I want you to say to yourself in the Spirit today, I'm good enough. And the devil is a liar. Anytime you start feeling you're not good enough, that didn't come from God. You know when that you start feeling that, that's a lie. Rebuke that lie off your life. I'm going to say something kind of probably risky in the religious world. Even when you sin and fall short of the glory of God, you're still good enough. Oh, Pastor, you're saying it's okay to sin. I am not saying it's okay to sin. I'm saying God doesn't view you the way that we view things. He sees your future, not your present. He's saying just repent and move on. Walk out of this. I'm still good enough. I'm still a child of God. I'm still awesome. I'm still created in His image. I still have purpose. I'm not going to finish this, so let me just get hung up right here. When I was a young man, I was striving to live for God. Striving. Obey all the rules. All the rules. And let me tell you something. Where I grew up, there was a lot of rules. Everything but fresh air was a sin, and some days that was. I mean, they measured your hair. They measured your clothes. They measured everything but your tongue. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Y'all get that later. They measured everything. Everything was measurable. So I was really living for God. I really was. I'd been that summer to camp. I'd really just given my heart to the Lord, accepted the call of God on my life. I went home and told my pastor, I said, I feel like God's calling me to ministry. 14. I've told the story one time before, I believe. So I went off with an older guy, friend. We went to Six Flags and was on our way home. He said, let's get some beer, man. Let's get some beer. And I was like, dude, I don't know. I'm going to get a beer. Can't just, that would just devastate all the rules right there. Can't do that. Come on, let's get some beer. So finally I thought, well, you know what? He's not going to shut up, so let's get some beer. So we got some beer, and I popped the top on my beer. I took one swallow out of it, and I set the beer down in the car just so he would shut up. It was still, the beer was still there. I thought, okay, leave me alone. The peer pressure was what it was. So we get back home, and he announces at church, yeah, we had a great time. Me and Marvin was on the way home. We got a six-pack of beer. We was drinking beer. Well, the pastor came to me, and he said, look, I can't let you be on bus ministry no more. You can no longer work bus ministry. Look, he just took my heart out of me. I love those kids. I really felt like that ministry was my calling to touch the life of those kids on that in that bus ministry. And he set me down because I had a swallow, or just a taste. I didn't know if it was a real taste, of beer, just rules. What he didn't know was, and he didn't ask, and didn't even think to ask, what he didn't know was, is I was under so much condemnation, not conviction, that I'd went to the church that night, had my dad let me in the church, and I'd prayed most of the night that night before church, trying to get this guilt off of my life. Now, I'm not blaming the pastor, and I'm not throwing stones at him. I'm simply giving you an understanding that the enemy had set me up to walk away from the church that day. And for the next 8 years of my life, I did not serve God. I walked out of the church. I will never be back to church again. It's a bunch of hypocrites. They're la, 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 la. And I got set up and I fell prey to the law. I can't perform this religious duty. I'm not good enough. I will never be good enough. And the whole time God was saying, but Marvin, you're called. I've called you to the ministry. I've called you to the purpose. I've called you to the kingdom of God. I've called you to preach the gospel. I've called you for a time such as this. Let me show you the grace of God. For the next 8 years, I went from bad, in my mind, to way bad. Drugs, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't matter. 22 years old, I came back to God. At 22 years old, I did not walk back. I did not come back to the church because I knew that the church would crucify me. I came to the Father. My prayer was this: God, I'm coming to you. I'm not going back to the church because the church will destroy me. Now, that wasn't all true. Don't get me wrong. That wasn't all true. I'm not blaming the church. It wasn't all true. But that's what the devil had put in my mind. You know what I found Jesus at? He was standing on the front porch waiting for the prodigal son to say yes. And he ran to me, and he put a robe on me, and he put a ring on me, and it didn't matter what everybody else said from that point on. 22 years later, here I am. What am I telling you? I'm telling you this. The world, the church, what we call the church today, our religious stuff, really, honestly, there's a connection between those two, and they will put things on you that are not of God. Take those things off of you and now live according to the Spirit. Am I being clear today? I'm not being critical of the church. Because listen, I don't care where you go to church, if this church or any other church or anywhere you congregate people, there's people. Right. I was just in Honduras and I went over there to work with a pastor over there. Guess what? He had the exact same problems. They dressed a little different, they ate a little different food, and they spoke Spanish, but it was the same devil. The church is not your problem. People are not your problem. Situations are not your problem. You can run. You can do all you want to do. You can try to find something that fits the thing in your life. But here's the deal. Here's the issue. When I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the things of the flesh. Period. If I'm after the heart of God, I will sense and feel the presence of God. If I'm after His presence, He will always be with me. If I love Him more than I love anything else, it doesn't matter what anybody else does around me or what their title or where I at or what the location is. I am in divine order with the Father. And guess what happens when I'm in divine order with the Father? Blessings are poured out of my life so much that I can't even contain them all. It's pretty amazing how the enemy lies to us, and it's all just a lie. But what's more amazing is how we fall prey to the same dumb things. Somebody told me I wasn't grammatically correct not to put this on Facebook, but I wanted to put on Facebook just a few weeks ago, I guess when I was in Honduras. The devil's dumb, but we're dumber. Because the devil's been using the same exact tricks he used in the garden. He hasn't got any new tricks. Same tricks. He takes a little bit of truth, a whole bunch of lie, he twists it together, and he deceives mankind. He's been doing the same thing with a lie for thousands of years. But what's dumber than that is we keep falling for the same dumb tricks. When are we going to wake up and know when the devil's lying to us and say, you just dirty, rotten, lying devil, and go about our day? Come on, that's good right there. Somebody say amen. Amen. Do you feel like I just called you dumb? That wasn't my point. I fall still prey to the same dumb tricks too. I'm not saying you do. I'm saying we do. Same deception, same lie, same baloney, same trick. And really, what it boils down to is he's going to hell and he wants us to go with him. So the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us. And he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. Come on, somebody ought to say, praise God. And since we are the true children, we are qualified to share all his treasures. All his treasures. For indeed, we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he has, all that he is, and all that he has. We will experience being co-glorified with him, providing that we accept his suffering as our own. I want to tell you, just we walked in this place this morning, there was just open heaven over this place. It's just the amazing presence of God. And the enemy's probably not going to come show up on your doorstep and knock on your door and say, hey, look, I've come to destroy you today, so get ready, here he comes. I feel certain that's not how he's going to work. Sometimes Proverbs tells us that there are some people who run their own lives and then blame God. So the enemy will get us to walk in the flesh and then tell us, well, look, God's abandoned you. God has not abandoned you. Listen, if there's a distance between you and God, it's probably caused because you have decided to listen to the voice of the flesh. Sometimes it's not even the devil, it's just pure old flesh. You know, it's like the old drunk that staggered in church and the preacher laid his hand and says, I rebuke you, devil. And the drunk said, I will rebuke you too. Some things ain't the devil. You can't cast it out and you can't cast you out. You got to discipline your life according to the work of the Holy Spirit in you and you will come in alignment. That's a good word. You can't cast out a devil that ain't a devil, that's all flesh. So you have to bring the flesh under subjection to the work of the Spirit. And we never intend to get in these places. We ask ourselves, how in the world did I get here? It's a slow fade. It's just a drifting away from God. And then things begin to hinder our time and our fellowship with the Father. Listen, you can't let things get in the way of your fellowship with the Father. The Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little bitty things that slip in when you're not paying attention that spoil our lives. It is not so much that we, you know, the Bible tells us in Romans 8 that we've been made more than conquerors. We have to be careful not to let the little things spoil the vine. Worship team, y'all can come. One thing leads to the next. We begin to neglect the things like this, God's Word. How many Bibles in our life are never read every day? How many? I don't want you to raise your hand, but how many of you read your Bible every day of your life? Let me tell you something. You will not be able to come against the force of the enemy if you don't have the Word of God in you. The Word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's when the enemy comes in, you're equipped with his Word, that you destroy the very voice of the enemy by quoting the Word of God. And Jesus did it, and we should do it also. Don't let the little foxes in. Don't let your flesh control your life. Don't let other manipulations... And stop blaming people. People ain't your problem. Well, I can't because... Listen, you can't because you have not made up your mind to follow the Spirit. That's good preaching, Pastor. You have to... I have never seen anyone who says, I'm committed to God, not be able to live for God. Because God is more about you living for Him than you are. And so He gives you everything you need. He equips you with everything you need when you say yes. Our prayer time, our worship. And then something else that we really struggle with in our life because we're so busy with life. We need Christian community. I want to talk about this just for a second today. You need to be careful who you hang out with. Corinthians 6:14 says, don't continue to team up with the unbelievers. Don't be in mismatch alliances. Oh, we've used that scripture to talk to people about getting married, but listen, tell you something. Don't get in business with people that are unbelievers. Don't spend all your time in relationships with people that are unbelievers. I'm just going to tell you, those communities are dragging you down. Oh, but we're supposed to walk into the dark places, but we're walking into dark places to be the light, right, not to set up house. I need community with believers who can say, hey, Marvin, you need to check your alignment. It's accountability. Well, I ain't gonna nobody tell me that. Yeah, you do. Yes, you do. We all need accountability. And who we spend our... This is not just a God thing. This is every leadership book I've ever read. The secular leadership book says the people that you run with will either make you or break you. Right. If you want to be a great leader, run with great leaders. Right. Bishop Cheney always says, if you want to fly with eagles, hang out with them. If you stay with the turkeys, you'll end up like a turkey. If you hang with the buzzards, you'll eat dead flesh. But if you run with eagles, you'll learn how to fly. They'll take you places. So your community is important to you. That's a good word. And then sharing your faith. The Bible says we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Who have you shared your faith with lately? We can't let off the accelerator. We can't start to coast. We can't live on the blessings of yesterday. We got to live on the promise of tomorrow. And we got to keep our foot on the gas. And we got to go after His presence. We have to close the door to the enemy. And every time you slowly open the door to the enemy, the little foxes come in. We become tolerant. Oh, I'm just tolerating that. Let me tell you something. Small compromise is always the trick of the devil. He never comes and tells you to give all that you have. He always starts with a small compromise. 95% devotion is always 5% short. We make excuses. Oh, it's no big deal. I can handle it. Let me tell you something. Whatever God's convicted you of, when you step across that line of conviction, you can't handle it. That's why God convicted you of it. And that's why He has convictions on my life that He doesn't have on this lady's life. We live in the same house. We don't have the same convictions in areas because she might can walk across that line and not affect her. But if I walk across that line, it's death. You need to know where God's called you to and the conviction He put in your life and say, that's not somewhere I'm going or I'm doing. I'm committed to it. That's the discipline of our life, to be obedient to God. Because when we don't pay attention to that, we think we can handle it, then we become entangled. And the web of that is always going to destroy us. And the fuel of the Spirit becomes less and less and less in our life. And we simply drift away from the call on our lives. And when you drift away from the call and the purpose on your life, you begin to wander in the wilderness. And you're going around the same old thing over and over again. But when you're obedient to the Spirit and you're fueled by the Holy Spirit, like Romans 8 says, let me tell you something. There's no limitations. There's no limitations. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you're not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And you walk in your fulfillment, and you walk in your calling. Angela has a newer car than she's had. It's a little Toyota. I got in it the other day and I was on the phone. I'm used to driving these big old tanks that we've been driving. And you feel every bump in the road, you know. It's and I'm on the phone like I always am. I look down. Forgive me, Lord. I was doing 105 miles an hour. Interstate was open and I was just cruising. Man! I was like, Lord, have mercy. Let me slow this thing down. Be honest with you, I wanted to see how fast it go. Let me tell the truth. It's funny, yesterday I was driving and Angel said, don't get a ticket in my car. I was like, what's that got to do with it? Whose car it is? They're not going to give the car a ticket. When you get in the presence of God and you get alignment in your life, and you know, and I think about my truck, my big old trucks and cars, they don't ever hardly stay aligned, you know. Yeah, the way I drive. Thank you, whoever said that. But the fact is when I got in that car, it was smooth. And they didn't recognize how fast I was going because there was I was being fueled by that smooth ride. A lot of times we can't reach our goal where we're going, and it feels like it's always painful because of our alignment and because of our purpose and because we're trying to, you know, but when we get in the presence of God, He puts us in a life of luxury that's not like the world's life of luxury. It's just, it's there, it's comfortable, it's easy. And I hear people saying, living for God is hard. It absolutely is hard if you're trying to live for God, but yet fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the most difficult place in the world to live. But when you step into alignment, it all smooths out. It's really not that hard. It's really awesome. It's really awesome to walk in life, and every place that you go, whether it's school, church, shopping mall, market, wherever you are, and you're walking in the presence of God and under the anointing of the Spirit. Supernatural things happening around you. It's really an awesome place to live. So I want to just say this today. Don't let the enemy steal from you. Don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you that you're not who God created you to be. You're precious. You're amazing. You're called. You have purpose. I want you to walk out of here today going, look, I'm going to put my foot on the gas. I'm going to go after everything that God has, because this not going after it is the cause of contention in my life. But when I get into alignment with Him, man, this is an express highway to happiness, joy, peace, love, fire, God, overflowing Spirit. And that's only half of what I had to preach today. I preached the first and the end. I didn't get the middle, so tune in. Maybe I'll preach all of it next service. Who knows? But I'm thankful for what God did here today. I'm thankful for God took the time to just minister to us today. Let's stand.